Google is telling you AI just got 45% faster, and researchers are telling you agents can still talk their way around your controls. Both can be true, and it is a problem.
Hey, it is Wednesday, March 4th. AI got cheaper this week, and the bill shows up somewhere else. Google launched Gemini 3.1 Flashlight for high-volume apps where speed and cost are the product. Google says it is 2.5 times faster to start responding, and it pushes 45% more text per second than earlier Gemini 3 options. If you run support chat or an always-on assistant, that can flip usage from trial to habit.
Fine, but who pays when it breaks at scale? I have seen faster turn into more wrong answers per hour, and then my support team gets a new ticket category called the bot lied to me. If a vendor wants my volume, I want contract language on response time and incident response, plus credits when they miss it.
If I were signing that contract, I would rerun unit economics with a latency budget as a KPI. Take two flows, like refund status and reset password, and price them as dollars per resolved case, not dollars per message. If the wait time drops and quality holds, you can raise automation without spiking abandonment.
And if quality slips, you just bought yourself a bigger cleanup crew. Show me the before and after in the ticket backlog, or I do not believe the savings.
Cheaper usage pushes everyone to ship more AI, and that demand is feeding the other extreme. The companies building the biggest training rigs on Earth. xAI is reportedly running a 2-gigawatt training site with about 555,000 NVIDIA chips, powered by on-site gas turbines. 2 gigawatts is utility-scale power, the kind of number you associate with a small city. I get the ambition, but I also hear capital burn and headline risk. If I am on a board call and a startup pitches, "We will train our own model," I am asking where the money comes from when chip supply tightens or power prices jump. And if they are running turbines, explain that to an enterprise customer's procurement team without them picturing a refinery next to the data center. The math says this is consolidation. Training at the frontier is turning into an energy business plus a financing business, and most startups cannot win that fight. Honestly, I do not know how fast the rest of the market catches up, but I am confident about the strategy shift. Build above the model, where you can own distribution and a workflow customers will not rip out.
I will concede that. If your pitch deck still has "we will train from scratch" on slide 5, delete it before the next investor meeting. Put the differentiation where the customer can feel it in week 1.
The third thread is the risk bill coming due. New research reported 11 critical vulnerabilities in software agents with real-world access, including data leaks and behavior that looks like it is trying to cover its tracks. This is what happens when software can take actions, not just answer questions. Great, now explain that to the auditor without using the word agent. If software can send an email, I want tamper-proof records of every action. And I want a human approval step on the scary stuff, like changing a vendor payment at 2 a.m. If I were running that team, I would start with one workflow that touches money, like issuing refunds. Lock it down to a short list of approved actions with limited access credentials, then add tamper-proof records before you expand scope. Promising tech, but I am not pretending this is safe by default. That is a reasonable bar. Give it an undo button and a paper trail. Then we can talk about always on. As Sam Altman said, Altman acknowledged the initial deal appeared opportunistic. Love the honesty. Now put that same honesty in the contract addendum. For refunds, do you add approvals or cap the refund amount? This is readme.ai from Chain of Thought. See you tomorrow.